This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. All I would need to say, because when I heard the lady speaking about the plastic bags, I called and I pulled up the study because I actually had it open on my laptop. It is called, and all I would need to add to what you, I now don't need to make a contribution because you have read from a document that comes from the study. And the study is entitled The Aerosol and Surface Stability of SARS-CoV-2, which is COVID, as compared to SARS-CoV-1, which is SARS, as we called it before. It was done on the 9th of March, the 9th of this month, the data, the research was completed, and it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine on the 17th of March, 2020. I don't need to add anything else because you gave the 72 hours for plastics.
Yes.
And so the lady spoke of research. I said the research needs to be founded in actual research. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I was listening to a gentleman who was speaking to you a little while back. Well, first, I must say to you, this is my first time calling in.
A pleasure to have
and
you.
And the idea of wiping the paper with wipes, it's not a bad idea of wiping the paper because I usually spray my paper with Lysol. But what made me really call you is because this morning I went to the bank, And you know, like, Dami, how you're going to your lineup to wait as the bank open, because I like to be early. I am not a late person. I like to be early. And as we were there standing inside of the bank where the bank machines are, there was a lady on the outside of the bank, and people on the outside said to her, you can go in and use the machine because we are all waiting for the bank to open. The lady openly said, I am on quarantine, and I am not going in there. I'm going to wait till everybody comes out.
What did you say and do?
I become very angry. I'm not the person who gets angry easily. I was very, very angry. I said out loud, if I had my cell phone on me, I would have called the police for her. Then I looked around, and I saw one of the bank persons on the inside, and I knocked on the folding door that will keep you separated from the bank of itself and the machines. And I asked her if she can hear me. She told me yes. And I said, well, there's a lady on the outside who said openly that she is quarantined, but she is coming into the bank to do her banking. I said, I am over 70 years old, and she's not coming in here this morning. Not with me. And the woman said, she shouldn't be in there. She shouldn't be in here. I said, I know she shouldn't be in here, but I only letting you know she ain't coming in here with me. If she wouldn't want her to come in, she'd come in, but she's not coming in here with me. But the lady said, okay, okay. She went back. She got the key. She opened up the door. She came out with her, what you call it, the spray thing. And she went to the door to let the lady know she cannot come in. And this woman insists that she must come in. She's coming in. She don't have
how could she go? How could she go in while she declared that she was in quarantine?
That's the thing about it. She opened, and the way in which she said it, it seems as though she's so proud of being quarantined. And it just had me a little bit disturbed. But anyway, the security guy, he came out there and he told her straight she could not go in. And as usual, you know, she argued and she quarreled, but then she quickly left. But the thing about it is, I feel in mind that if people are being quarantined...
You're sure that she didn't say that she was in quarantine because she thought that would get her service quicker?
No. She said she is in quarantine.
Yeah. Because I don't understand. I mean, why would she say that for everybody to hear?
That is the question.
What would have been her objective?
Why are you, if you're quarantined, you should be home. I don't have nobody to do anything for me, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. She's a pretty young person. I don't see how come that she don't have nobody to do nothing for her.
You believe that only old people are lonely?
No, it is so funny. But then I heard this gentleman say he wait his newspaper. I said I could understand because you do not know now who to trust. There was a gentleman standing behind me, and he said he was in the one of these stores, and a man was behind him saying the same thing. He and his wife went away. They came back. They both have the virus. They were in quarantine, but he couldn't stay at home. You know, I feel in mind that there should be some way that if people are in quarantine and if you want, there should be some stamp.
There's
that
a fine.
That you see that they were in quarantine.
You want a label on them?
That's some kind of a stamp.
That,
to show.
No, but that in this country would create some stigmatization that you don't want. I think that people need to be responsible. I suspect that the person that you're talking about is unaware of information which has been put out. That if a person is supposed to be in quarantine and they're not, I suspect they could be self-imposed. But once it is ordered, let's say you came back to the country and you're supposed to be in quarantine for 14 days. If you breach that, you could be fined as much as $5,000. Okay, so we just need to reinforce the importance of doing it. Now, what happens in cases where people say, well, I have nobody to do anything for me. I live alone and I have nobody to do for me. What can the rest of the society do? Is there anybody around you that you could ask to do a favor for you? I mean, all of that needs to be explored. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Welcome to the program. It's now 11:15. Are you there?
Good morning, David.
Hi, morning.
Hi, this is Andre World. I am calling again to raise publicly the issue with the water crisis for the residents of Sherbourne and Vincent Hill in St. John. And in St. John generally, but specifically for those two areas, because we have felt it the worst in all of the areas with the water crisis.
What's the answer? What's the answer to the problem there? I mean, in the drought, you know, we all know that there's a drought, and it's been on for quite some time. So tell us how you think the government should go about assisting you.
All right, David, even though that there is a drought, right? Have you had prolonged water outages in your area?
No.
Okay. Now, this is our situation, what we are facing in these two communities. In Sherbourne and Vincent Hill, we have been without water running for more than 3 months. December, but it went on beyond this. When we travel, even if we just walk to a neighboring community, it is even worse in Vincent Hill. If you go up the hill to your next door neighbor, that person has water consistently without water, whereas the persons on the bottom level have not had running water through their taps for some as far as April last year.
So the question is, what do you understand to be the reason for that?
We need to hear from the Barbados Water Authority what is their reason. It is most people believe that the water in this area is being deliberately shut off so that it can be supplied
for
to other areas.
For 3 months?
For 3 months.
So who would do that? Well, who would do that? Why? You really believe it yourself?
I do believe it myself, and that is the view of the majority of the residents.
So why?
And that is
why
we have called on the Barbados Water Authority to come meet with us. Speak to us face-to-face, and we took into consideration all of the protocols with regard to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. The Barbados Water Authority was on the radio on Monday saying that they are willing to meet with the residents. They haven't had the courtesy yet of responding to the petition which we sent them by email or calling any of the residents to try to arrange that meeting. We are willing to do a conference call.
A conference call or something.
We need to hear from them what is the reason. And there are people that know how, because we live around Bormiston, Golden Ridge. Those are the areas, and Sweetvale, the sources for the water. We live around those areas. And there are persons who know how the Water Authority has been operating. We can't shut off our own water supply, so it would have to be that the water authority may be shutting off the water supply in these areas, but instead of us speculating, we are asking for transparency.
Well, let me say that to be without water for such a long period really demands that the water authority should have conveyed information to the people of that particular part of the community ever since.
Exactly. And what
they're doing... Let me make the point. Mm-hmm. Make the point. Because I understand the gravity of the situation as you have articulated it, and surely with COVID-19 upon us, it is all the more important for us to get information to them. But I would think that if you take too long to communicate with the people, then you open up yourselves to that, the type of allegation which you all, and conclusion that you all have come to. I sincerely hope that the Water Authority will communicate, find a means by which they can communicate with those people. Do they send water trucks to your area often?
We do get the water trucks, and we do get the, we have community tanks as well,
mm-hmm.
but this has been ongoing for a long, this is the life of many people in this area, because even though you get the water trucks and the community tanks, you still can't really fill your washing machine to wash. So you have residents for the community who have to go to their family.
But that's
What
happened in 2017? This area was also afflicted.
No, it was never so bad. It was never.
It has gotten worse.
This is the first time since 2019. Yes, we've had issues with water being off before. Sometimes it would be off a day or two, or it would go off at night, like, say, 8 o'clock. But we would at least get running water through our taps that we can still do our normal daily activities, and it would not be such a strain. But this is the first time since April 2019 that we have been without water like this consistently for months. And the BWA's response to it was to run their public service announcement saying that because of the low water levels, we would expect outages in these two areas on Mondays, Wednesdays, and I think they said Fridays, and water to be off between certain periods of time. When that announcement started, they adhered to it for a week. And then after that, you stopped getting water, period. You wouldn't get, you were not getting water at all.
I would only caution you on the conclusion that you've reached by drawing attention to somebody else who says that in St. Thomas for 3 years straight, they had to suffer worse circumstances, and they want to know whether this meant that the water was being diverted as well. In other words, there are other pockets in the country that may well be having similar problems. I think it is critical. The most important part of this is that the Barbados Water Authority needs to communicate with the people in the neighborhood. It must tell them what the problem is and what they are doing to solve it, and what steps are taken in the interim to address it for them. You can't just leave the people out there on a limb. I appreciate that. Okay?
And we would like them to urgently address it.
Yeah.
And I think they deserve to pay the residents the respect by hearing their concerns. Don't let, because...
But there are parts of St. Joseph and St. Andrew that have similar complaints. You know that. And
I do know this.
And when we are finished, we all come back to the macro picture. This macro picture is one that is very serious. The parts of St. Lucie where you see people bringing water, as we call it right now. There are several pockets where this drought is really touching people. But I can't fault you on the plea for proper communication.
And I would want to say, I am not oblivious to the fact that there is a drought in Barbados. I do know this, right? But then I would also question the Barbados Water Authority's preparedness. Because remember, a couple months ago, what happened to the plan for the additional desalination plants in Barbados? We need them now more than ever.
Yeah, but you know what? Because we heard a lot of discussion about those desal plants, and I think the government thought that the costs associated with them and the whole procurement process and all of that needed to be reviewed.
but there was the cost of human life, especially.
Well, it depends upon. I mean, let me say to you that ultimately, you want value for money in whatever you do, and there are some people who believe that once you have a problem, you must rush into a solution to the problem at any cost.
There also, you can't do that. Evidence. A couple of months ago, I read an article in Barbados Today by someone who works in the area, a young person from Barbados, and his recommendation was that the government invest in such facilities now, because the longer you wait and the drought and climate change...
But this isn't about investing.
It will become more expensive.
Mr. Worrell, you know full well that this is not just about the timeliness of the venture. There's also a question associated with procurement and all of these things. If the government comes to office and feels that the procurement process was not one that they consider to be good enough, transparent enough, and all of that, then they are free to
put out a tender process in Barbados.
Me?
So it takes 6 months to put out a tender in Barbados. So they were there for nearly 2 years in May. So if they thought that the procurement process was flawed, they could have put out a request for proposals and a tender and do a more open and transparent procurement process.
Well, chances are that they may well be doing that. But all I'm saying to you is that in trying to correct the problem, one still has to be careful that there is value for money as far as the public is concerned. In the meantime, we agree that water tankers, the tanks that are being placed in the communities, that have been placed in various communities, are at work. And the communication process we believe to be important. Remember that these problems have been with us for quite some time now. And when you look at desalination also carries a relatively high cost. So you cannot, whatever you gain on the one hand, anticipate that you're going to lose something on the other. All right, then there's a I remember early discussions about how you're going to dispose of the salt and all of these things. So all of that still needs to be factored in. I think we got to
move on. And the only way that we can arrive at an educated decision is if they share the information with us. You assume that they may be doing the tendering process at this
stage. I don't assume that. I say that they reviewed it. I can't assume that they're doing the tendering process.
So all we're simply asking for them is to share with us the information. What are you doing in terms of making sure that the Barbadians can have an adequate supply of water, because it is a health risk? And it also impacts on the productivity of the country as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. And we want the issues addressed.
Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
Yes, Mr. Kelman. I'm okay. And you?
I just want to come in on this water issue. Because, you know, something you say things and people ignore it. Listen, the problem with our water system in Barbados has to do with how we dispose of our water, and we have no respect for our water. There are two systems in Barbados that are creating water shortages. The storage tank that when calculators show that they collect about 79 million gallons of water that is not recyclable, because it doesn't go back in the system. We are actually robbing the aquifers of water when we have those water tanks. And another one, the most serious one, from the time we set up storage plant, I started to dump the water at sea instead of retaining it at land. If you do your research, you will see that is when we started to recognize that we were having a water supply problem. The water that we dump at sea is water that was used by householders.
Yeah, but the government, I think that's well recognized, and that is why we are talking as a country about replacing the sewage treatment plants that we have right now with tertiary level plants so that we can recycle water. In addition to that, if you go and watch fishermen and the fisher folk, rather, cleaning their fish and that sort of thing, you know how much water is wasted on a regular basis?
David, you want to hear something? That's another myth. in Barbados, you do not waste water. You see, as I just pointed out to you, there's only two sources of wasting water, and the two I pointed out to you. Because that same water that you are talking about, right, it goes back into the aquifer. So that is not waste water.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. And, you know, I had a rather interesting scenario because I was talking about this all the time, and nobody would notice me. And Israeli Tarap and Barbados made the same point. They pay the fee for the consultancy and acknowledge it. And this is where we need to get away from. Another thing that I want, why I'm on the line to deal with you is, we have a scenario in Barbados where we are allowing international agencies to dictate our pace. And I'm talking about coronavirus.
Examples?
For example, we are using cases, contraction, as the measurement. But you know something, David? Barbados is fortunate. Because even though we have contraction, we don't have death. So I want to ask the question, if in a country that practices high hygiene, should we be measuring our cases by contraction, the number of contractions, or the number of deaths? And the reason why, before anybody come and criticize me, let me give you a reason why I'm proffering this. If you have contractions and you are able to stop the people from dying, it wouldn't be better to focus on your and to demonstrate the world that you're on top of the issue?
Sir, if you look at the trend, the United States right now has surpassed China in terms of contractions, 86,012. But the number of deaths in the United States is far less than the number of deaths in Italy, Spain, China, Iran, France, the UK. All right?
I thought it's through the thing from you saying that you reversed.
Just hold on a minute. My point to you is that on the other side of the coin, there is deep concern in the United States right now about the number of people who are in hospital, the extent to which the health facilities are under pressure, the absence of enough ventilators and stuff like that. All right, this is not just a question of how many people die. It is also a question of how many people get sick. And so much so that you put pressure on your health services. And across the world, that is what we have. So when you say, oh, Barbados should measure this only on the basis that we haven't had any deaths, the whole region has had very few deaths. But you can't ignore it. You can't, if you measure it only in those terms, then you are likely to encourage a situation where you will have an overload of cases in your nation.
If you look at it from the negative side, I would agree with you. But if you look at it from the positive side, because you know what you're doing? You are shutting out a positive. You see, we focus so much on the negative that we shut out the positive. There got to be a reason why this reason might be having the cases and not the deaths. And we need to find out what it is.
Mr. Kelman, with all due respects, I think that it's still early days for us in this thing, you know. There was a time.
No, I agree.
There was a time when the United States didn't have as many deaths as it has. There was a time when Spain didn't. You know, there was a time when Italy didn't. But with the passage of time, it can happen. And we don't know where this is going. We should not be up here celebrating anything right now. We got to watch this thing carefully.
Why are you moving to celebration? I'm focusing on solutions. Maybe we have the solution. But maybe because of what we are focusing on, we might be shutting out. For example, there might be some theory, truth to the theory, that doesn't like heat. And because Barbados is very hot now, maybe that is the reason why we are not having deaths. That's the type of discussion I want to have in this country.
Well, quite frankly, I am saying to you, there was a period not so long ago when there were people asking the question, why is it that African countries don't have it? And there was this suggestion that there might have been something genetic about black people that was preventing it. My friend, today, that is not so. Today, African countries are facing the same issue.
All right, may I make a point to you? And the reason why African countries in Caribbean might be facing the same issue is because of one word, travel.
Because of one word? Well, what it proves is that black people are not immune to coronavirus.
I'm not even getting involved in this first thing. What I'm saying to you, that the reason why we might have our cases is because of travel.
South Africa alone has 927 cases. Okay.
And you will trace that to travel too. But what you are not focusing on, yes, we have the cases, but why we are not having the deaths.
All right. All I'm saying to you is give this virus time before we can come to positions of morbidity and stuff like that. Okay? Down to brass tacks. I'm being told that the Attorney General has apparently made some announcement on the shutdown, but we haven't been included in what I consider to be, if that is true, so it would be a national announcement. So I will have to wait and see what is being said, because, you know, I have to take this social media very seriously, and I cannot assume that because people are telling me this, that it is the truth. I would think that if there has been a national shutdown, it is appropriate that the government of Barbados would let all parties know that this is so, rather than what I am hearing right now. So I can only just wait to see what is the truth of this situation, okay? Down to brass tacks. Hello? You on the air? Hello?
Is that it?
Yes, welcome.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am well, and you?
Miss Ellis, I came face to face yesterday. This only one warm Barbadians about face to face with being charged. Yesterday was in town. I know some of you cough and a little cold will come out your throat. And I just moved to the study wall and spat it out. And a senior superintendent senior police officer saw me and told me, you know that you could be charged. So honestly, I was a bit disrespectful. I apologize for it. I said, we want to do is put in your hand, not recognizing that we in this COVID thing. He said, well, you could be charged, and then he told me who was his rank and was his name. And to be honest, I was brought down to near to tears. Saying that, you know, just a simple thing, not studying, you could have been charged. So you hope Bajans recognize that if they want to spit, carry along. Oh, they had this thing on my bike, but not studying about this COVID thing. That's a serious thing. I know you were glad I charged me a lot. I know that for sure. You will feel good seeing my name in the papers, bringing the papers.
What benefit would that bring to me?
I don't know
what benefit that would bring to me.
Well, but honestly, I was real sorry that I was being a bit disrespectful. Because, you know, I mean, my mouth full already. And then they can get charged with my mouth. But I don't understand that. You can't spit both tongue.
Well, listen, if you're sitting down any place and cough, I wouldn't even mention sneeze, but cough. Everybody will look at you very hard.
Of course, yeah, but that's what happened.
People are scared, you know.
I went to buy some lotto tickets yesterday. And this guy was right in front of the girl selling the tickets. So he was muffling his book near about 8 or 9 feet away from he and the girls. And he there all the time. And he looking at me. And I still there talking to the girl. Tell me, sir, he's an idiot. You know, he should be so close to the ladies. So after he left, I stopped roughly about 7 feet off her. And I told her what he wanted. I said, look, man, don't let the boy come and stand so close there. That's
okay. There's clarification of what was said by the Attorney General. I think it was said in the House of Assembly, which would be appropriate, you know. I'm going to try to see if we can play what was said coming up here. I don't know if we can, if it can come through this particular link. But we need to carry that statement as soon as possible. So there's nothing really out of the ordinary with a statement that has been made within the House of Assembly. Perhaps the only thing that we would have wanted to know is that it was coming so that we would have been able to carry a portion of it live or so. All right, so as soon as I can get that particular announcement by the Attorney General, I'm going to share it with you. All right, down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, David.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad, it's Johnny Tudor, right?
Yes, Johnny.
Yeah, I actually called with this water issue.
Yeah.
I remember you being in the House of Assembly when they had a no confidence vote against me as the Minister at the time in 1994. And at that time, Barbados was producing 47 million gallons of water a day through the aquifers and some of the private wells and so forth that were measured. The challenge that we had is that Barbados was using in 1994 45 million gallons of the daily produce of 47 million gallons. And the country at that time had a growth rate with new businesses, new hotels, new homes, new businesses of 4% per annum, which meant that in a couple of years, after 1994, I think by 1996-97, we would have absorbed all of the available water on a daily basis from the catchment areas in the aquifers and so forth. And some of the aquifers were actually empty, like Molly Nuando's down on the West Coast. I went to Israel and I saw the file system, and we had no money. It was a period where we also had no money. And what we did was to invite tenders for a boot operator, build, own, operate, and transfer. And we were able to establish the desal plant, which produced between 5 and 6 million gallons a day, which took us to about 53 million available gallons. Now, of the 53 million gallons, 32 million gallons were used for domestic use. And the point was made at that time, look, this is a crisis for Barbados. Individual use throughout the country and every single household and business was targeted at asking people not to waste water. For example, people open taps to clean their teeth and leave the tap running all the time they are cleaning their teeth. When they are bathing, they just let water run on them for a long while just to soak it in. And it was untenable for Barbadians to do it. And we as a country, since 1994, have not paid attention to planning, because there are other things that you can do. You could put down more desal plants. And by the way, the desal plant that was put down in 1994, if you go to those districts where it was put into the system, that water is absolutely clean. If you boil water, you will never see
any. Mr. Tudor, what is required here is for the minister who is responsible for water resources to update Barbados on what steps are being taken to address the particular concerns. I think that's crucial because, as has been raised before, the desal plants that were fast-tracked, because my recollection is that it seemed as though those plans were fast-tracked at the time. We need to hear what has been the result of the review of those plans, and what exactly is the government going to do, okay? We agree. Thank you very much. Let me see if I can go back to Parliament and hear some of what the Attorney General had to say on this matter. I'm kind of shooting blind, so I think perhaps what I can do is
flatten the curve.
Let's hear what he has to say here.
At this point in time, I have to pay special tribute to the people who are involved in the public health sector. I don't think we understand what it involves of them. When an individual is found to have contracted COVID, every single person with whom that person came into contact has to be tracked and traced and screened. Now, sir, a person who lands at the airport comes across first a greeter, then an immigration officer, a red cap, customs, maybe a taxi man outside, and on and on and on and on. And if they're going Oysters, when Oysters are Friday night, that's many more people. But the public health nurses have to trace every single person with whom you came into contact. Now, sir, the Minister of Health told me that his people were overwhelmed.
So you know that Parliament has been discussing the Emergency Management Amendment Bill 2020, and the Attorney General of Barbados, Dale Marshall, has been leading debate on this matter. We are going to go back to some of what he said earlier in this debate so that we can capture a bit of the more significant aspect of this speech as it relates to how Barbados is going to be dealing with the shutdown. So let's cross over to that.
We are under a duty to accept the rigors of physical distancing. So we have determined we have to be here. We can't do part of it.
But we are still at the start, and I'm sure
that we have to be here. But, sir, we are sitting in every other chair. Yesterday we had cabinet by Zoom. So all of us stayed in our respective homes and offices, but participated effectively in a full cabinet meeting and made important decisions to run
things like caring
in exactly the same way as if we had sat in cabinet
neighbors
in Bay Street. So the point is, sir, in everything we do, we have to recognize what our objective is: limiting human contact. We can stem the spread of COVID by limiting human contact. What that meant for us, sir, was that we had to make some decisions about how Barbados would operate. So, how do we limit human contact, sir? Well, the schools are closed, so that means that the students are not in schools and the teachers are not in schools. This decision, and I think we have to make this clear, this decision means that, with the exceptions of a few instances, all businesses are closed in Barbados from Saturday, 8 o'clock, Saturday 28th, until April 14th. Well, that'll be April 14th, 8 o'clock as well. Okay. So the first day that Barbados will reopen fully then will be the 15th. All businesses, sir. I could probably repeat that another 10 times just for emphasis. The reason we are saying all businesses are closed is because we need Barbadians to stay away from each other. If we ask Barbadians to stay at home, then there are consequences. So businesses of necessity have to be closed during this period. Now, sir, I have got probably about 400 WhatsApp messages and as many calls, and everybody in here has got, I'm sure, many of the same or more.